Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. And today is our weekly Prophecy Reality Edition. The studio cam is on. And come on over to FirstAmendmentRadio.net and click on the chat button there and join us in the chat room. We have a little studio cam video window there in the right hand side that's live right now if you press on it. So be sure to join us. Well, what do we have today? My scripture verse for the day. I'll share that with you. And this I say, Colossians 2:4, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's right, Christ is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, by faith alone, who has raised him from the dead, and ye being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border or Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're ready. If you have any questions about anything we've talked about in the past in this broadcast, you have any comments, questions about anything having to do with prophecy or even things in the news, whatever, this first hour is for you to call in. And so we have a call-in number there on the chat room page or on the homepage of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. So use this first hour to call us in. And we're going to talk a little bit about Seventh-day Adventism, because I got a communication from someone who I'm guessing is a Seventh-day Adventist, or at least has a Seventh-day Adventist bent to their thought. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Are Seventh-day Adventists Protestant? Are they historicist? Well, I'm going to say that Seventh-day Adventists are neither Protestant nor are they historicists. And in the second hour, of course, we're going to continue with History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter, going into segment 21 or 22. Up, we're getting up there toward the end of the book. So I hope you're enjoying that journey with me. And if you missed it, you can catch all the 20-something parts by going to my website, crosstheborder.org, and go to last posting of History Unveiling Prophecy. And underneath it, you'll find a link to the playlist where you can start with number one. Do enjoy that. Also, there's an opportunity there for you to buy the book on the Get the Book page. And I think there may even a buy the book link there on one of those postings or more of them. Or you can get it free by going to the free ebook page and requesting it after you follow the instructions there. That means that I would like you to subscribe to my blog and share that page with somebody. And once you do those two little things for me, then I'll do the thing for you, and I'll give you a copy, a free EPUB, only a PDF version of that one. Some of them we have both EPUB and PDF, but this one we're not in the EPUB stage yet. But we're getting there soon. We finally got our final transcript into the publisher, and so you can get the final version of that book now. Okay, let's see. Let me check out the chat room, see who's here. Well, Wacky's back. CCF, Dale I, WW, we missed you last week, Thomas, Blue Raven, and of course I'm in the chat room. So if you're listening live on Wednesday morning, come on over. Okay, if you can't, you know, your hands are busy at work or whatever, you're nailing up a wall or something, well, just keep listening on your radio or your Prophecy Reality news app. And make sure that you have our Prophecy Reality news app. I remember when I was growing up in the 60s, and they came out with the transistor radio, and I got one, and I could listen. You know, it was bigger than my stupid phone here. It was bigger, and it had a long whip antenna on it, but I could listen to the latest pop music radio when I was in the 60s, because that's all I listened to then. But things have changed since then. I don't listen to pop, romance, idolatry music anymore, and I hope you don't either. So get your Prophecy Reality news app at the iTunes store or at the Google, whatever they call that store for your Android phone device, and download the Prophecy Reality news app, and you can listen to firstamendmentradio.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and enjoy that on the go. Okay. Let's see. Blue Raven says, Nicholas, how can we definitively determine what scriptures were fulfilled in the first century and what scriptures were left unfulfilled? Well, we know that Jesus came and he died on the cross. And we know that the Messiah, the Anointed One, suddenly came to his temple and he confirmed the covenant with many for a 7 year period, through the first half through, personally in his own person, from the time of the Jordan River baptism till the 3.5 years. Thank you for that, WW, for that sound check there. We know that that was fulfilled and that he was cut off, not for himself. And we also know that he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of the week by the sacrifice of himself. And the final 3.5 years of that week, he ministered through his disciples. It was kind of a lesson. The first 3.5 years he had to fulfill personally. He went to the cross. He was crucified. And he rose again, and then at the Holy Spirit event, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in them at the Pentecost event, and he now ministers through them in the same way that he ministers through us. So he had 3.5 years personal, in the flesh, and 3.5 years, you know, in the spirit of ministering like he ministers now through his church and through us. So we see that that is a demonstration of that. And then finally, at the end of the 70th week, the gospel now leaves Israel because it was exclusive to Israel for the first, for the, through the 70 weeks and through the final week of years. And then the gospel went to the Gentiles. And we had events like Peter with the vision and Cornelius. And then finally James is martyred. And then Paul rises up and takes the gospel to the Gentile nations. And then finally, in between that time and the total desolation of Jerusalem, which we know was fulfilled, the gospel goes to the world through the disciples and the disciples' disciples in Jerusalem and Judea, because they obey the voice of the Messiah, who told them, when you see these things, flee Jerusalem and Judea. And that is exactly what they did. And they took the gospel to the world. And now the gospel has been gone to the world for some, you know, 1900 years now. And here we are today. Okay? And everything that's been fulfilled. If you want a good timeline, we have several publications that you can get. And one is we're going through in the second hour, and that is History Unveiling Prophecy, or Time as an Interpreter, originally published by H. Grattan Guinness about 1905, updated by us at Cross the Border Publishing, and brought up to date quite a bit. But most of it, like I said, if you go back in history, you'll find that the 1900 years were already covered, and we only had to add a little bit that happened since the time of the publishing by H. Grattan Guinness in 1905. Let's see. Oh, we also have The Last Prophecy, which is an abridgment of the Hori Apocalypticae. And you can get that, too, from us. This is our pocketbook edition. I think that's $10.99 if you want to buy it. Or you can get a free e-copy by going to the free e-book tab there and requesting any book that we publish in a PDF or EPUB form. Any other questions? Okay, thank you, WW. We got great sound. And Michael from Florida says, listening to the app sounds great. Okay. Appreciate your help there giving me sound checks. Since Michael is not here, my board operator is in Florida for the duration of as long as he's going to be there. I don't know. He may go on. The Lord may call him on to something else, but we do appreciate Michael in Florida. He sends me some articles and stuff. And he sent me something about True News. And I watched, you know, Rick Wiles' first episode. And it was all self-glorification. The whole episode. I mean, I got bored about 10 minutes through it. And I just said, oh, I could hardly take it. Where's the True News at? You know, it's like he's just talking about himself and, you know, how it took him 20 whatever years to get on TV so he could be like Jim Baker or Paul Crouch, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, hopefully he gets back to the news. Anyway, so like I said, it bored me to death. I had to shut off his first episode because he just talked about him by himself. You know, and here I am by myself in my $60 studio. See, this is a vinyl print behind me, and it cost me $60-$65. Michael was here when I ordered it, so you wouldn't have to look at all the junk behind me. I wouldn't have to worry about whether the door jam is clean or not behind me, because I got my $65 studio backdrop. And I was looking at him with his $500,000 studio going, it doesn't look any better. It's just, you know, he's got more expensive cameras, a $500,000 building and or studio or whatever. And it took him 20 years to get there. I got on here as soon as I had the technology, like, you know, high-speed internet and a good fast computer. And it took me a while to make it better, but it is better. Well, Oh, yes. Florida Michael is the Mike. That's right. That's right, WW. And WW bows. Yes. So who knows? He might come back here someday. I don't know. Or James might come back. I kind of worry about James. He's, I don't know, he's kind of like my adopted son in a way. He stayed here with me over last year before Michael came, and I trained him and discipled him, and then he went back to New York. Anyway. Wow. McStaldy says Rick Wiles has been kicked off two stations already. Yeah, well, I have to admit, you know, I think that Rick Wiles is genuine I think he's a genuine person. I think he does a great news program. How about that for criticism? I don't think he needed to wait to 20 years to get on TV. He could have done what I did years ago. Let's see. Anyway, Wacky says, can you explain the millennium? Will there be translated saints and unsaved people on earth? How can that be with Jesus here? Doesn't judgment come completely when Jesus comes back? Well, the millennium will not be populated by people, by mere mortals like us, who will live through the return of Christ and the judgments that come at his return. And we know this because at the end of the millennium, there is another gathering together, like the great day of the battle of the Armageddon battle that's coming up. And we have three croaking spirits like frogs that have gone throughout the earth and are going throughout the earth, continuing to gather people together for that great judgment day that we're calling Armageddon when the Lord returns. But there will actually be mortals who live through the return of Christ. Of course, everyone in Christ and everyone who the dead in Christ and those who are living will be resurrected or changed at that time. And we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But at the same time, there will be mortals populating the earth. And at the end of the millennium, there is the judgment. The second resurrection or judgment. That's why the scripture says, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. Walter Weiss. Oh, okay. McStaldy says, I put everyone else down. He wants to hear what Phelps has to say about him. Okay, I have no idea what that even means. He wants to hear. Anyway. You know, if you don't enjoy the program, McStaldy, you should probably go listen to these other people that you're talking about. If you're just here, you know, to plant seeds of dissent or whatever, okay? Because I'm going to criticize some people. Yeah, that's going to happen. I'm allowed to, okay? And he quit, so I guess he's gone. All right. Because here I go. All right. Let's see. I got an email, so I think I'm going to jump into that email. And actually, it was a YouTube post. And I'm going to share that with you because that's our topic for today. And that is Seventh-day Adventists are neither Protestant nor historicist. And we're going to deal with the historicist part first because they have usurped historicism and melded it with their own brand of prophecy. So they attract a lot of people by having some truth and using the truth of Protestant historicism to bring people into their fold. And once they bring them into the fold, they start to indoctrinate them with their unique doctrines. And their doctrines are even unique to the scripture because they're not explicitly in the scripture. Here we go. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And sorry about the technical issues there. It seems that the scratchiness continued. Anyway, let's jump back into our program and our topic. And I got a note or a comment on one of my YouTube publications. And so we're going to jump into that. This is the title of this segment is Seventh-day Adventists are neither Protestant or historicist. Neither one. Okay? And so I'm going to put this on the screen so you can read it for yourself. This is from Crystal C. This he or she. It says, in 1844, the Millerites had the date right, but the wrong event. Well, I could do that all every day of the year. I could have the date right, and I usually do get the date right. Sometimes I write down the wrong date, but it's very important to have the right event. Because if you have the date right and the wrong event, well, you're just wrong. So I don't know how people, this is how we justify the failure or the great disappointment. And Crystal C33 continues, the 2300 years of Daniel did come to an end in 1844 with the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven. Well, I'm not sure I agree to this. 2300 years from what date? You know, which version of the prophecy? Some people say it's 2300 years. Some people say it says 2300 days. There's nothing in the text to indicate that it is actually 2300 years. And if I could make something up that happened in heaven where nothing can be verified, well, then I can say, well, I figured out the prophecy. And that's basically what they've done. So they say the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven took place and that it was the right date, but the wrong event. It wasn't the return of Christ, as they had predicted, but let's say something did happen, but it happened in heaven. Well, that's total speculation because, one, you're making it up, and two, there's no way to verify it. I like prophecy that it can verify. And why would God give us a prophecy that has nothing to do with us mere mortals on earth? Unless it has something to do with our eternal state and reward, which he does give us. So we know about the millennium, we know about the new heaven and earth, and we know about our place in eternity with Christ as our head in the new Jerusalem. Okay? And we don't know exactly how, because we haven't seen that yet, but that's some people could say, well, that's speculation. Well, no, that's our eternal reward. That's our hope. Those are things we don't have to speculate because they haven't happened yet, and they're not going to happen in our lifetime, okay, unless we live through the millennium. And then some of those things will happen, such as the millennial reign of Christ. But things that happen in heaven, it has nothing to do with me on earth. I mean, is something different now for us that lived after 1844 that we should care about what happened to the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven? And then if you jump into that, you delve into that doctrine, the cleansing of the sanctuary doctrine, what they're saying is Christ did not finish it at the cross, like he said, that the work is not completed by Christ, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father until all his enemies are put under his feet. No, he had to come back in 1844. Not come back here, but start cleansing the sanctuary in heaven. Right? It's like God doesn't know. He has to sort it all out now. And they call it the investigative judgment. God is investigatively judging all of the people that ever lived up until that time to see if they're going to make it into whatever, and all that stuff. And so he didn't finish it then. And God doesn't know yet, even though, you know, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that he prepared works that I might walk in them before I was born. But somehow now he has to investigate. And what's the difference for people that lived before 1844 when there was no investigation in heaven or cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven or investigative judgment, which you can't find anywhere in the scripture. Those that live during the investigation, there's something different now for us because the investigation's going on in the investigative judgment. Now, this is a total unique doctrine to Seventh-day Adventists. Anyway, I reply to Crystal C. Throughout history has proven prophecy to be true, verified by history itself. How convenient to come up with an interpretation that cannot be verified by history because it does not take place on earth. Unlike all the rest of historical prophecy, this interpretation, the investigative judgment interpretation, the cleansing of the sanctuary in heaven interpretation, is absolutely useless. And like futurism, is a total speculation. Speculation cannot be verified. This is only one reason why Seventh-day Adventists are not truly historicists or Protestant. Okay? Neither one. Am I criticizing? Well, you know, a lot of people have accused Martin Luther of being anti-Semitic. You've probably heard it. This is one of the attacks to the Jesuit Counter-Reformation attacks on Protestantism, is that Martin Luther was anti-Semitic. Did he go about killing, burning at the stake, Semites and Jews? No. His crime of being anti-Semitic, which they accuse him was opposing Judaism as a religious doctrine. Okay, he opposed them religiously and intellectually, but not physically. He did not hate Jewish people. He loved Jewish people. So Martin Luther was not a hateful man who hated Jews and Semitic people. His only argument was like mine, against Seventh-day Adventism. Seventh-day Adventist people, I love them. They're many good people, and I'll bet you there are even people that are saved in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay? And there are actually Jews, you know, Semites, that have accepted Christ on earth right now and have been ever since. And I love those people even more because they're my brethren in Christ, because Jesus said, they'll know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Okay? So Martin Luther loved the Jewish people, but he railed against Judaism and the same things that Jesus railed against in the culture of Judaism this day, because it was apostate. So I rail against apostasy. Jesus railed against apostasy. Martin Luther railed against apostasy. But that doesn't make us anti-Semitics or haters of other people, of other races and cultures. What we rail against is that which is anti-Christ in those religions and cultures and races. That's what we rail against. We embrace the people. We want to bring the gospel to them. So my criticism isn't of Walter Weiss. It isn't of individual SDA people. It isn't of Jews. And it isn't of Rick Wiles. It's the error that they teach, the futurism that they cling to, and the abominable heresies that they propagate, the apostasy. That's what we're against. Okay? So their apostasy of the cleansing of the temple and of the sanctuary in heaven, the investigative judgment doctrines, these are extra biblical. They are not historicists, and their speculation is not historicism. Historicism is primarily focused upon that which can be verified as fulfilled in history, showing us what has been fulfilled up to this date. And that's why I turn you to these type of books here, where these men outline, and you know, you can take it with a grain of salt and say, well, and decide whether you believe that what they're saying is a fulfillment of prophecy in history verifies that that prophecy has been fulfilled, therefore for verifying the omnipresence of God, the foreknowledge of God in His Word to us, to verify His very Word to us. Now, are they right on everything? No. They're not right on everything. Am I right on everything? No. But I think probably with these guys here, you know, we're 90% right, at least, about the things that have been fulfilled in history. Now, what has not been fulfilled yet, you know, there's a little bit of speculation, but I believe all history has already identified all of the characters in the Revelation. All of the major characters in the Revelation have been identified and verified in history. History, unveiling prophecy, and time as an interpreter has unveiled and revealed all of the major characters of the prophecy of the book of Revelation and the New Testament epistles for us already. That we can stand upon, verified in history. The few events that are left before Christ returns, we can verify they haven't happened yet. The Armageddon War hasn't happened yet. What is going on is the three frog-like spirits are still going throughout the earth, and they have been going throughout the earth since the sixth vial was poured out about the French Revolution. So we're still waiting for the seventh vial. We're in that interim period where those spirits are going throughout the earth to gather together the evil forces for the great battle of the great day of God Almighty. That's where we are in prophecy and history. That epic battle, those forces are being gathered together at this time. And it's taking several hundred years. So what? Okay? We can see it at work. Okay? So they are not historicists. They use historicism and the truth of history and prophecy to bring people into their fold so they can seduce them into their abhorrent doctrines. Now, how do we know that they're not Protestant? Okay? And, well, we can go to what came out of the Protestant Reformation. And, for that, I'm going to turn to, I got a website here, it's called reasonabletheology.org. And, they're to talk about the five solas. And from, Charles Haddon Spurgeon and the five solas of the Reformation. And I thought this, okay, we're not going to debate about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I'm sure he was just a man like other men. Okay. And he probably had faults like all other men, like Martin Luther, like me, like you. And anyway, so he wrote something on the five solas. So we're going to down here. The first one is sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. The doctrine of sola scriptura, or scripture alone, is a central belief of the Reformed theology. It comes as no surprise to find that this doctrine has also formed the bedrock of Spurgeon's preaching. In speaking of Christ and the Apostle Paul's view of the scripture, he said, "The reason I go to sola scriptura or scripture alone is because Seventh-day Adventists do not hold the scripture alone. They have a new prophet and her writings, which they hold up at least equal or higher than God's word. So they fail the first test of Protestantism, and that is sola scriptura. They cannot claim to be Protestant until they throw out all of the writings of E.G. White, and they relegate them to the writings of Nicholas Arthur and anyone else, any other Christian man or woman who has written something about his faith in the Bible. Because what I write is not the Word of God. It's about the Word of God. And I quote the Word of God in it to make my points or whatever. But it's not sola scriptura. I hope that I point you to the scripture. And, you know, that's what I want to do. Okay? That's my. So you have thousands upon thousands of books about scripture, about God, about different top Bible topics, but they are not equal to scripture. And if they don't point you to scripture and say scripture alone, and maybe give you some insight into scripture that you didn't have before, but you can verify by scripture itself, then you cannot equate them with scripture. So they violate this very tenet. That's why Seventh-day Adventists are not Protestant. Okay? Sola scriptura, they violate it. Okay, what else we? Grace alone, another aspect of Reformed theology which finds sure footing in the text of scripture, is that of salvation is available solely due to God's grace. Well, they have to keep the Sabbath day. Okay? And only if you're a Seventh-day Adventist can you be saved. I attended a Seventh-day Adventist church back in, you know, the early 2003 or 2004 or something. I checked it out because I didn't know anything about it. But after I was there a while, because, you know, these, what do they call them, warning lights kept popping up. And you have to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You have to keep the proper Sabbath or you fail. So it's not grace alone, but it's by works. And the problem is that Seventh-day Adventists really have a real problem, okay? Because they think that everyone else is wrong in keeping the wrong day, and by keeping the right day and being members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that you are saved. And I remember that because I watched a baptism once. They had a baptism there in the church. And they did not baptize you into the body of Christ, into the body of believers of the church that Jesus was building, but you got baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, and thereby you were saved. Okay? So it wasn't grace alone. And, we'll move on to that. Faith alone and Christ alone. So they violate all three of these with their investigative judgment and their keeping of the law. You can't drink coffee or smoke cigarettes, which, you know, I advise against doing things that, like smoking cigarettes. I don't have a problem with drinking coffee because, well, you know, I do drink coffee. As a matter of fact, my good friend Dr. Wallach has discovered that coffee is loaded with antioxidants. It's actually good for your health, as long as you don't pollute it with additives. So that's talking about Seventh-day Adventists. So you got dietary restrictions with Seventh-day Adventists. You have to be a vegetarian. That goes against Scripture. That's extra biblical, because the Scripture tells. I mean, if you're going to go with the Old Testament, those guys were. Who was it? Noah was told to eat meat. And those guys that were commanded to do the sacrifice or taught to sacrifice, Adam and Eve ate meat. You know, their high priests made a sacrifice there and clothed them with the skins from the animals that were sacrificed. And they had to eat that sacrifice. Okay? That's demonstrated clearly. I write a little bit about that, the sacrifice, in my book, When the Third Temple is Built. The first chapter is basically about the sacrifice, why the Jews want the sacrifice. So we cover that if you want a little more information on that. So they violate all that. And they keep the Pope's Saturday Sabbath. But they go from the Pope's calendar Saturday Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. But that's not the Sabbath of the Bible. You know, and I have a posting on my website, and it's called What Month Is It? And in that posting here, if you scroll down, it's a very good posting. And this is basically a Bible study posting. I'm not saying anybody should keep the Sabbath according to the calendar that God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness. My position is plainly stated in this article. Okay? So, but it's good to understand this, that God gave the children of Israel a calendar in the wilderness, and I have demonstrated that and verified it here. And Saturday, sundown to Saturday sundown is not the Sabbath that God gave the children of Israel in the wilderness, but it's the Pope's calendar Sabbath, or weekend, or days of the week. So they're keeping the Antichrist or Pope's calendar and Sabbath days. And see, now the problem with being a Seventh-day Adventist, unless you keep the right Sabbath, well, you're lost. And since there are most of them, I mean, there are some seventh actual lunar calendar, you know, Sabbath keepers in the Seventh-day Adventist church, they're still lost because they're caught up in legalism. Because it's not by faith alone, by grace alone, and through Christ alone, their salvation, but it's of works. And that they miss the sola scriptura. They have the writings of E.G. White, which they hold equal or higher. She's like, you know, but she's not alive, but she's like their pope or their final prophet. They call her the prophet, E.G. White. And so it's not by scripture alone, because her words are not scripture. The things she has written are not scripture. So, by these things, we know that Seventh-day Adventism is not Protestantism. And neither are they historicists, but they use these things. And there's a whole bunch of them out there, websites. What is it called? World's Last Chance is one. Walter Veith. I love Walter Veith. He's got a lot of great videos and stuff, but he's still a Seventh-day Adventist. And a lot of these other guys that have written wonderful little booklets, including about historicism, but in the end, they all bring you in, and then they start to teach you and indoctrinate you into this. Well, they abandon sola scriptura, for one. They bring in other prophets on par with the Bible, I mean, and say these are equal or exceeding the Bible, kind of like the Pope is infallible, even over the Word of God and above the Word of God. So they have their own transubstantiation the Seventh-day Adventists do. It's called the investigative judgment, is the transubstantiation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So don't be seduced and don't push these people or use their stuff and propagate it, because you're propagating an apostasy. And I'm sorry to say that. And that's a criticism, not of the individuals, but of the doctrine that they're propagating. And that's it. It's a religious criticism. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue with history unveiling prophecy. So you don't want to go anywhere. Make sure you stick around for that.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.